Welcome back to the Dealmakers Podcast Show with serial entrepreneur Alejandro Cremades, best-selling author of The Art of Startup Fundraising and co-founder at Panthera Advisors. In this podcast, we ask our guests about their successful acquisitions and financing rounds.
Alrighty, hello everyone and welcome to the Dealmaker Show. We have a very exciting founder today joining us. We're going to be talking about the building, scaling, financing, and exiting. Things like, for example, pivoting, how to think about the putting the company from growth to profitability, you know, that kind of transition, which is very hard. And, the ups and downs of building a business. So brace yourself for a very inspiring conversation. And without further ado, let's welcome our guest today, Guilherme Viguert. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Alejandro. It's really nice to be here. It's a pleasure to share my history here and see with all the founders in this podcast.
So originally from Rio de Janeiro in Brazil, give us a walk through memory lane. How was life growing up over there?
It's really nice. It's a beautiful city. So I live here in Ipanema. I was born in a really particular environment. My father is a physician and my mother is a tech developer. So early on, I was exposed to both technology and health, and it was amazing. So it's really nice to be here.
So tell us about, you know, in your case, getting into medicine. What really pushed you in the direction of medicine?
I really enjoy to talk to people, and I really enjoy to understand more how to help users, patients. So early on, I was seeing all my father as a doctor helping a lot of patients, and it was really inspiring. So that's why I approached to medicine. But actually, I was in the beginning when I was choosing the medicine, I did the exam to tech developer system here in Brazil, but I chose medicine. So I was in in 1 month, I changed my decision and then I go to medicine because I was going for tech developer as a tech developer as my mother is. So that's a funny thing here.
So let's talk about, you know, studying medicine and then really getting into entrepreneurship, because that's quite the detour. I mean, anyone that, you know, typically would go into studying medicine like you did, you know, would become a doctor versus becoming a founder. So what happened there along the way?
Yeah, I had some experience there that I changed my mind. So the first one, as I was graduating medicine, I really enjoyed to change the sports in my university. So I invest a lot of my time to help the sports, because in my university we don't have a lot of resource to increase, to improve, to like motivate medicine students as a sports team. So I invest a lot of my time, and we create a sports league there. And it was amazing because we create a community of medical students that was like competing by football, like volleyball. So it was the first experience as an entrepreneur during the university. But when I was finishing my university, I saw that it was really changing the way that the medical students were studying. So we had like that big books with 2,000 pages. And then I was seeing the medical students going for YouTube, for others kind of learning steps. So then we start to saw that we were like have an opportunity to create a medical education platform. So as we start Jaleco, was my first startup. It was amazing because we changed the way that we were like teaching and helping medical students to learn really well, to learn different from what was the traditional way. It was like a Netflix for medical students. So we go from the first degree to the last degree of university graduation. And it was amazing because we reached more than 200,000 medical students. And was as we were growing a lot, we decide to sell the company. So we sold the company for education group called Plus A Education. It was like $8 million valuation. It was the first journey. It was amazing. But at that time, I was like, as an entrepreneur and as a doctor, deciding if I was would be like just an entrepreneur, a founder, or if I would go like as a doctor, being a cardiologist. So I made medicine, I made cardiology, I had a residency, I had made a master's degree in cardiology. And then in 2017, I decided to jump to be just an entrepreneur. And then I start Conexa. It was my second journey here in the of entrepreneurship. And it was amazing because we saw that the system in Brazil, the health system in Brazil, is like it's collapsing. So we have no access to health. Less than 25% of the population has a health insurance. So the majority here has to rely to the public system. And even the user that have, the patients have that have access to a health insurance, they are not satisfied. So that was motivating me to jump from a doctor for an entrepreneur.
So before we go into details with Conexa, I want to talk about Jaleco. How was it going through the journey of selling a business? You know, it's a, you know, that's quite a success there. You know, first company, first, you know, acquisition, you know, it's pretty good batting average. So how was it like going through acquisition process like that?
Yeah, it was like a B2C, direct to consumer. So we were selling a medical education platform for medical students. So we are growing, but we saw that we have or we approach the doctors in like a lifelong journey for the doctor, or we were like deciding to sell the business because a lot of competitors were going for doctors and they have like a really a bigger TAM. So if you were like going for doctors, we would fundraise a lot of money. Then we start to think about that. And then we say, oh, okay, if you have like a lot of competitors that was going for doctors and we were like focusing on the medical students, we have a really differentiation here and probably would be better to sell the company for those that were focused on the lifelong journey for the doctor. And then we would be more like asset for them. So because they were going to convert these medical students as students for residency programs, for medical education at all. So continuous medical education. So that was what we decided because we should like, it would be really tough to compete with these other competitors that were with a really big TAM. So that's why we decided. And then we start to talk to them. We had like four offers, and then we decided for the offer that was from the group plus A Education, because I was not in the more in the operational side. I was leaving the operation as executive, just going for the board. But my other founder, they were like really happy to join this more lifelong journey approach. So that's why we decide to sell the company.
So then let's go with Conexa, which is your latest journey now. What ended up being the business model of Conexa now? How do you guys make money?
Yeah, so the way that we are a digital health platform here, so we are the leading one. We have like we do more than 500,000 consultations per month. So the way that we make money here is the B2B approach. So we sell products for employers and for health plans, health insurance plans. So to deliver more health benefit for employees and a really good digital health network of professionals for the payers. So they pay us as a PMPM model per member per month. And we have some case that they pay a fee-for-service model. So that's the way that we make money here.
Now, I know that you guys have experienced pivoting the business a few times. So Walk us through how those pivots look like and how has the journey been, you know, for really getting it all the way to where it is today?
Yeah, I think we the purpose here was the same. We have a really difficult health system, complex health system in Brazil. So we would like to improve the access and also to improve the outcomes. So in the beginning we start as a primary care clinic because telehealth it was not allowed. So we don't have a regulation to do the telemedicine as we had in US, for example. So we start the business as a primary care clinic, going for health insurance plans to distribute our products, so our network of providers. But the thing is that we have a really different culture here in Brazil. We don't have a primary care culture in Brazil. So they are really used to go to the hospitals. They go for like specialists because here in Brazil is different from US. Like in US, you have a health insurance plan, but we will pay like deductibles. We have like copays. In Brazil, don't have. So it's really easy to go to the hospital. We don't have any barrier. So the thing that we saw that as a primary care clinic, we don't have incentives for the patients that shift from the hospitals to the primary care clinic. So and we were like developing a digital health platform to help engagement for users that were going to the primary care clinic. So we saw that we should pivot and close the clinic and go for the digital health approach because it was really much more like convenient. It was like the user experience, it was really, really nice. And that would probably shift the behavior of the user. So they would like it really convenient, go for a digital health consultation versus going to the hospital with a really long line waiting for 2 hours to have access to the doctor. So that were the decision that we made. It was really, really good decision because it's difficult to do both the in-person primary care clinic and the digital health solution. We have to be focused. So that's why we shift the approach here.
Hey guys, so pardon the interruption here. So I got to tell you that, you know, for those of you that are either looking to raise money or you're looking to get your company acquired, you don't have to be alone. You know, there's a lot of psychology that needs to be blended with strategy, with methodology, with process. And it's very hard. And already doing your business alone is super, super difficult. So I remember, you know, back then when I was an entrepreneur, I kept really experiencing the challenge of either knowing or finding the right type of access to the right type of investors or really understanding what was the right type of guidance, you know, that would carry me through the process, whether it was with seeking money or with going through the acquisition. So that gap that I found being an entrepreneur is ultimately what pushed me later on when I met my co-founder at Pantera, Mike Severson, to really put together an advisory firm where we are guiding entrepreneurs and founding teams through the capital raising efforts, whether you are at a seed stage or at a Series A stage, or if you are going through the process of an acquisition and you are in small to mid-cap type of cycle. So again, you know, we would help you from guiding you and supporting you from A to C all the way to the end as an extension of your team. And there's no reason for you to do this alone. So with that being said, if you would like to find out more, feel free to send me an email at alejandro@panteraadvisors.com, and we would love to take a look at helping you out.
So then talk to us, too, about how has it been the experience of raising money, too? I mean, I know that you guys have raised over $60 million, but how has it been the journey of going through raising money? Because I know, too, being in Latin America, you know, the venture ecosystem is not perhaps as developed as the one in the U.S. So how has it been the experience, too, of raising the money?
Yeah, so we start as a family and friends. So, and a family and friends that were like leaving the health system. So we attract doctors, we attract like managers in the health system. So they really enjoy, they really like to be with us, helping to build a new way of consuming health. So that was the beginning. And we had here a really good investor, because he was like Romeo, he was the chairman of DASA. DASA in Brazil is a really big diagnostic company. It's like, it's the leader one in the Latin America. And they he helps a lot with commercial side, helping to understand more the complexity of this health system. So the beginning of the journey was funding with them. So, and then we start to go for a VC firm. So I think it was 2019, we joined with IGA. It was the first VC firm here with us. It was like it was $700,000 of fundraising. It was the first check. So, but it lasts like 6 months, because then we have the pandemic. And as we were like really, really with a really good base of clients, we grew a lot. So we grew from 2,000 consultation before the pandemic per month to more than 200,000 consultation per month in 3 months. So it was a huge growth here. And then we fundraised with GA. It was amazing. They are really, really amazing investors. And they help us to in the strategy to go for organic growth and then for M&A journey. So they help a lot. We start to seek for some targets in the mental health space. So we have done 2 M&A so far in the mental health space that helped a lot to consolidate the digital health players in Brazil. So we are the leader one, and the second player, it was that we are like 10 times bigger than the second player right now.
So how's it been to going from growth at all costs versus like turning the switch of profitability, having to do that transition?
It was tough because I'm an entrepreneur. So I didn't have this experience before. Just growth and developing, and I'm more a product founder. So and a commercial founder here. So I didn't have this experience before. And then we fundraised with Goldman Sachs in 2022. It was $40 million fundraising in this year. And the year it was really tough because the crash of technology funding, it was going during this year. But we could, like, we were growing a lot. We had a lot of, we're the leading one, and we could fundraise with Goldman Sachs. But we saw that the growth versus profitability, it was a really good decision to do. So we should go for profitability, because we wouldn't like to have no more money to fund the company. So in 2022, we have done some adjustments of G&A. We have done a good work in the margins. But in this year, in the beginning of 2024, we have done an M&A called a company called Zen Club. We acquired the company, and then we saw that it was this time, the moment to break even. So we go from like burning 10% of the revenue. Right now we are free cash flow positive. It was difficult because we had some layoffs. We increased a lot the operational efficiency here, the mindset that it's like tough. We would like decide for the best choice. We would like don't have more opportunities to have some mistakes that we had in the past. So we changed a lot the mindset. And right now, I think I don't want to burn more money anymore.
So tell us about, you know, because these investors, when they invest in people, no? And not only investors, you know, also customers, employees. It's really betting on people, but more importantly, in the vision, no, that these people have created, no, especially coming from the founders itself. So if you were to go to sleep tonight and you wake up in a world where the vision of Conexa is fully realized, what does that world look like?
I think the first thing that we would have, like, the share of the digital health consultations really higher. Like, I really believe that 40 to 50% of the consultation that we have in this more low complexity system, it should be digital. So the first one, it's like seeing the share of the digital health really higher. Right now we have, like, the digital health in Brazil is 3%. So we have a lot of room to grow. The second thing is that we see a change in the behavior of the user, going not just for the disease approach, but seeking for the prevention, seeking for the changing of behavior, seeking for more lifelong, a long that is, like, more healthy. So the way that we see here, the patients, they are going just when they have some disease, some comorbidities. So I do think that we should pursue a road that is more about longevity, is more about how you have emotional, healthy, physical health. So I think we are going in this.
So then let's talk about because, I mean, we're talking about the future, but I want to talk about the past with a lens of reflection. So if I was to put you into a time machine and I bring you back in time to that moment where you were getting going, you know, with finishing your medicine, you know, studies and thinking about a world where you would perhaps launch a company of your own. And let's say you had the opportunity of having a chat with that younger self. What would be that one piece of advice that you would give to your younger self, and why, before starting a business?
That's a good question. I think the first thing, it was calm down. Make more clear decisions. Things are not going to crash in as you think. So calm down, plan more, have more strategic thinking, because we have done a lot of mistakes in this journey. We didn't have some focus that we should have in the past. So we launched a lot of business units that didn't go well. And we should be more, like, calm and plan more before going for new business. So I think I would like to give this advice, because right now that's what I'm learning. And if I want to create a new business model, if I want to create a new product, I'm planning a lot, I'm seeing a lot, I'm not rushing. So that's, I think it's the first good advice that I would give to myself.
So here, for the people that are listening, that would love to reach out and say hi, what is the best way for them to do so?
I have a LinkedIn, and that's, I think, is the best way to reach me.
Amazing. Well, Guilherme, it has been an absolute honor to have you with us on the Dealmaker Show today. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Alejandro. It's really nice to share my history here with you.
If you like the show, make sure that you hit that subscribe button. If you could leave a review as well, that would be fantastic. And if you got any value, either from this episode or from the show itself, share it with a friend. Perhaps they also appreciate it. So also remember that if you need any help, whether it is with your fundraising efforts or with selling your business, you can reach me at alejandro@pantheraadvisors.com.
You've reached the end of another episode of the Dealmakers Podcast. For free resources and materials, head over to alejandrocremades.com. Thank you for listening, and see you at the next episode.